So we left off the previous year. So we were discussing the details of mitoch, mitoch. We got into it because the Gemara connected this to the possibility of possibly, in a long shot, burning chametz on Yom Tov itself. So the Gemara seems to say in our sugya that if you accept the view of mitoch, then we can discuss burning chametz on Yom Tov itself. If you deny mitoch, then there's nothing to talk about. And even if you do theoretically accept the possibility, there may be other issues involved. There may be deraisa issues of Ein Sof and Kachem Yom Tov. There may be derabbanan issues of muktzah, other possible considerations. But at least be karod, we could accept the idea of burning chametz on Yom Tov, following the rule of mitoch shehutra aval letzarech that Rabbi Shlomo letzarech. So within that rule itself, we saw in last week, there was a major machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. What if any other limitations of that rule? According to Rashi, there are basically none. The mitoch is mata everything, even the kosher laws are klal. And according to Tosfos, not so fast. According to Tosfos, it doesn't have to be nefesh, but a tzarech, to some degree, it has to be a tzarech hayom, to some degree, the baby carriage, carrying the lulav, carrying the shofar, etc. So that machlekes Rashi and Tosfos that we left off with on Friday, are there any limitations to mitoch? What's the lumbus of that machlekes? What's that really all about? What's the heart and soul of that machlekes? Why is it that Rashi insists that surprise the limit, whatever you want, you can do a yontif, whether you need it, you don't need it. And Tosfos says, no, there has to be able to be a tzarech. So the machlekes Rashi and Tosfos is linked to a very, very basic, fundamental machlekes as to how do you understand the very heter of I'm trying to get an angle. What's the angle again? Okay. Suffice with the fourth angle. How do you understand the nature of this head of Echol Nefesh? So you can really understand it one of two ways. You need to understand that ain't been Shabbos beyond this. That's the starting point. Whatever's Asra on Shabbos should have been Asra on Yom Tov as well. Forget about the non-Malachas for a second. But whatever's a Malach on Shabbos, for sure should be Asra on Yom Tov. And really, fundamentally, is Asra on Yom Tov. Oh, the Torah kind of tells us from the side, by the way, cooking is very important, eating is very important, blowing shofar is very important, having a Sefer Torah is very important. And the Torah is telling us that these important needs on Yom Tov, in a sense, override what would otherwise have been a malacha. Not all that different from a halachic principle called dechuya. We're familiar this from other areas of halacha. The Gemara says at the beginning of Masechet Yuma that tum is dechuya b'tzibor. That if you have a korban tzibor that has to be brought, and most of the Jewish people are tamei, or let's say korban pesach has to be brought, and most of the people are tamei, so you bring it anyway. So the Gemara has one opinion that says it's not that we're thrilled about this, and we have to try to avoid it at all costs. But push comes to shove, it's dechuya. It's more important to be in Korban Pesach than to observe the Dinim of Tumah. The sugya parsed Pesach Sheni was only for Yochid. If everybody else was tired, you never one or two guys were tamei, then they can't bring the Korban to Tumah. Then they have to push it off until Pesach Sheni. But if Rova the Tzibur is tamei, so then there's a Dinim of Tumah dechuya b'tzibur. Well, let's say we find this idea of the chuy according to many Rishonim of the Koch Nefesh. We spoke about many, many times this year. That there's an issur of Chil Shabbos. There's an issur eating on Yom Kippur. But more important than that is that the person should remain alive. So according to many Rishonim, the Koch Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos. Doesn't mean it's not Shabbos. Doesn't mean it's not Chil Shabbos. It's full-fledged Chil Shabbos. What are you going to do? The Torah says it's the chuy. Well, maybe that's not the pshat altogether. Maybe we're going down the wrong path in terms of understanding what Echol Nefesh and Yom Tov is all about. The Torah never asked to cook on Yom Tov. Finished. It's end of discussion. The Torah never asked to light fires. The Torah never prohibited carrying on Yom Tov. There are certain malachas which is never asked. Our starting point that there are 39 malachas on Yom Tov was wrong. There are 32 malachas on Yom Tov. You have to count up. Even that's not so simple. Which ones count those Echol Nefesh malachas? There are only 32 malachas on Yom Tov. There aren't 39 malachas on Yom Tov. Now, at the end of the day, you end up really in the same place. The bottom line is I'm allowed to cook. The bottom line is I'm allowed to carry. The bottom line is I'm allowed to light a fire. How I got the conceptually is very, very different. If you hold that Echol Nefesh is almost like those categories of malachas quasi dechuya, so then you have to think 100 times before you do it. Because if you hold that the echol nefesh is chutra, then these malachos were never asked in the first place. So the chora, that seems to be the issue that Rashi and Tosfos are debating over here. That according to Rashi, that there really are no limitations. According to Rashi, you want to carry for a Sefer Torah, you want to push a baby carriage, or you want to carry for zero purpose, no reason whatsoever. According to Rashi, that's okay. You want to light a fire to cook, you want to light a fire to read by, you want to light a fire just to Nehasha Batala, no purpose whatsoever. That's also okay. Pasha is according to Rashi. How could that be that it's more than to do malachas for no reason whatsoever? The answer is because these are not malachas, these are not Isurim. I'm allowed to drink a cup of water on Yom, I'm allowed to breathe on Yom, so I'm allowed to cook on Yom, I'm allowed to carry on Yom. Those malachas, once they're identified as Echol Nefesh malachas, Achashi Echol Nefesh, once those malachas are identified, then they were never awesome. They were never necessary in the first place. And therefore, it doesn't make any sense to have any limitation in terms of requiring any shape or form of etc. Whereas Tosfos seems to be taking a little bit of a different spin on this. Tosfos seems to be assuming that our starting point is, you're not allowed to cook on Yontif. You're not allowed to carry on Yontif. You're not allowed to light fires on Yontif. Nebuch, quote unquote, Nebuch, is a purpose. What's the purpose? I got to carry my lulav. Okay. Zolzain, carry your lulav. I have to push the baby carriage. Okay, push the baby carriage. I want to just carry something for no reason. Stop. I told you you're allowed to do that. Echol nefesh is mutter. Extended echol nefesh is mutter. But it has to be chatzotzeirech. It has to be something. Otherwise, you'd be mechal yomtov for no reason whatsoever. So this is a conceptual question. How do we view the heter of echol nefesh? Is echol nefesh closer to the model of hutra? That it's mutter lagam. It was never us in the first place. And therefore, there knows no limitations, no bounds, or is Echol Nefesh closer to the model of Dechuya, where we have to analyze each and every case and see, is there really sufficient, are there really sufficient grounds for us to permit what otherwise be malach?
Doesn't it make more sense to say it's like roster? Because otherwise, like, every time, let's say, like, you have food that's hot, but you want to heat it up a little more, but, like, every time you have to question yourself, oh, is it really hot enough? Do I have to make sure?
Okay, very good. You're much more coming to the run. Your svara, Aaron's svara, literally found the round of was based. We'll get to it in a minute. Okay? Very good. Excellent. So, this question was posed by the Shekhis Aryeh as to what the nature of the heter of Echol Nefesh is all about. And the Shekhis Aryeh assumed one way. And because he assumed that one way, he came up with a tremendous chiddush. Shekhis Aryeh is a piece about Hukas Rosh Hashanah. We're discussing an issue. We've also spoken about this in the past. Is there a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif on Rosh Hashanah? Very unclear. The Torah speaks about Simchas Yontif in the context of the Shalosh Regalim. And we know that Simchas Yontif is very much linked to the base of Mikdash to such an extent that according to Tosfos, Simchas Chutzla Mikdash is not even a deraisa according to the view of the Baal Yom Tov. So Simcha and Shalosh Regalim and Mikdash are very, very much connected. Rosh Hashanah, there's no real mikdash, there's no kabbonos, there's no real regel, there's nothing. So should there be a mitzvah simcha now? So some Yishanim possibly say no. But you're not going to, for that very reason, some Yishanim say the tachit is no mitzvah simcha in Rosh Hashanah. But the Shagasai says no. Shagasai says the samach b'chagecha applies to Rosh Hashanah as well. What's the proof, says the Shagasai? We'll take like a roundabout proof. Says the Shagasai, ask your wife, are you allowed to cook on Rosh Hashanah? Of course. Did anybody ever question that you're allowed to cook on Rosh Hashanah? Who's allowed to cook on Rosh Hashanah? What's the great tzarech to cook on Rosh Hashanah? What right do you have to cook on Rosh Hashanah if there's no mitzvah simply? The Torah couldn't care less whether you're eating and drinking and enjoying yourself in Rosh Hashanah anyway. So then why would there be a heter of Echol Nefesh? Oh, for the fact that there's a heter of Echol Nefesh in Rosh Hashanah, that's megala to me. That reveals to me that it must be there's a mitzvah simcha on Rosh Hashanah as well. That's the Sheikh Sai's roundabout proof. Now, whether or not everyone agrees to the Shagasai about the intricacies of Rosh Hashanah. I mean, we're a little closer pace than Rosh Hashanah right now. But what's important for us is the underlying principle of the Shagasai. Shagasai's proof vis-a-vis the existence of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah is because he understood that the Het of Echol Nefesh requires the Mitzvah Simcha. That's the engine that's driving the Het of Echol Nefesh. So that approach, that the engine that's driving the Heter of Echol Nefesh is the Mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, That's one side of the story. That's very much in sync with Tosfos. Rashi, I shouldn't say that. According to Rashi, I don't need any tzara. I don't need zero. I can do whatever I want. Whether I need it, I don't need it. Everything's mutter on Yom Tov. So how does the existence of a Heter V'chol Nefesh indicate, reveal to me anything about the mitzvah of Simcha and Rosh Hashanah? So the Shor HaSayis seem to be taking in, one side of this chakim. However, in contrast to the Shor HaSayis, there are Rishonim who don't say this way. There are Rishonim who talk a different language about Malacha and Yom Tov, much more in sync with Rashi's understanding that there are really no limitations whatsoever. And first and foremost is actually a Ramban. It's a Ramban al HaTorah. If you take a look, it's a Ramban al HaTorah at the 13th of the Mar Mekamos. The Ramban, the 13th of the Mar Mekamos, the Ramban in Vayikra Perchav Gimel. Says the Ramban about Perush Melechas Avoda. Ramban is saying taich in a word, taich in a phrase, malachas avoda. Malachas avoda means kol malacha she'enu l'tzarech l'chol nefesh. The words, the phrase, malachas avoda, has a certain connotation in halacha. It means non-food oriented work. Ki'inim she'nema, she'esh sham tavod v'sizik ha'machtecha, v'chol avoda basodeh, v'nevadetem v'nitzratem, v'kayna ye'ovid adoma, comes Ramban and says that if you look carefully at the Chumash, you'll notice that there are two distinct terms that are used to describe what you're not allowed to do on holy days. One is the term used on Shabbos, and one is the term used on Yom Tov. On Shabbos, the Torah says, Losasek kol malacha. The word avoda never appears in terms of the prohibition of Shabbos. Losasek kol malacha, kol osim bo malacha yumas. The word is malacha. What does malacha mean? Malacha is a very, very specific halacha connotation. It means the 39 malachas as were performed to construct the Mishkan. Some of those malachas involve back-breaking work, plowing and planting and building. And some of them were household chores, such as cooking up a pot of water, such as lighting a fire, such as carrying something in your pocket. Says the Ramban, when it comes to Shabbos, there is no difference between the hard back-breaking work and the very, 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 very light kind of activities. If it's a malacha, it's a malacha. If it was performed in the Mishkan, those are the malacha, lasaska malacha. When it comes to Yom Tov, the Torah switches gears. The Torah does not speak about malacha. The Torah speaks about kol malachas avoda lasaska. You'll take a look. Throughout the parsha of Moadim, that phrase appears. It never, ever appears concerning Shabbos, but it appears multiple times concerning the Yom Tovim. What's the difference between Malacha and Malachas Aveda? Says the Ramban, all the difference in the world, that Malacha means those 39 Malachas, very, very specific 39 Malachas, hard or easy. Malachas Aveda conjures up a certain image. That's what the Ramban quotes you, 3-4 psukim in Tanakh, about working hard, sweating away, really, really back-breaking labor. That's Malachas Avoida. Says the Ramban, Malachas Hano'a is Nishke Malachas Avoida. Cooking is Nishke Malachas Avoida. Carrying is Nishke Malachas Avoida. Lighting a fire is not Malachas Avoida. Those activities that are usually associated with food, not always, but they're primarily associated with food. The cooking, the shechting, the carrying, food-oriented tasks are not called Malachas Avoida. And therefore, they were never usher in the first place on Yom Tov. If you hold, almost like the Shagas Ayah's Lomdus, that the starting point was that everything was usher on Shabbos, is usher on Yom Tov. And then you have to figure out, finagle away, why these things are mutter. Oh, Echol Nefesh. Ah, Mitach, Simchas Yom Tov. That's the Shagas Ayah's approach. And therefore, if it's mutter, then we know there must be Simchas Yom Tov. And every kid knows you're allowed to cook in Rosh Hashanah. So Raya Bur, there must be a mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov in Rosh Hashanah. But if you go down the root of the Ramban, you're talking a different language. According to the Ramban, there never was an issue in the first place. Everything's built to prove an also. If the Torah never asked Malacha Yom Tov, the Torah only prohibited Malacha Savayda Yom Tov, so then it was built all along. As such, this question that the Ramban, the Rishon, Shaisai, and Achron seem to be debating is very much related to the issue at hand in terms of Rashi and Tosfos. So, going back to Agamar and Pesachim, Agamar says that if you hold a mitoch, then you're allowed to burn chametz in yontif. Gemara said that Rabbi Akiva taught us you're not allowed to burn chametz in yontif. Oh, Rabbi Akiva was from Tabi B'Shamay. Oh, he held. We don't accept mitach. But we who follow Beis Hillel who accept mitach, then you're allowed to burn chametz in yontif. Tosis quickly said, what? Burn chametz in yontif? Gemara must be Torah Chayim. And Tosis runs to go figure out and what's the grandiose Torah Chayim? Tishbisa by Rabbat. Tosis gives you a Torah Chayim. The Reis and the Rabbanim. Tosis, the entire Tosis in Pesachim, Davei, Enix, and Mitzvah Zayin, all revolving around the necessity to identify a Torah Chayim. So that necessity to identify Torah Chayim, this is part of Tosis' theory back from Beit Sedef Yabez, which Rashi doesn't accept. What's that? The Kudus of Machlaik, you've seen all the Tosis and Shas, Tosis and Pesachim, and Tosis and Ksubis. Throughout Shas, Tosis has this idea that you have to have a Tzarech Hayom, and Rashi says no such thing. So this may very well be related to the Machlekes, so to speak, the Rambam of the Shegesari. Is the starting point in Yontif that Yontif and Shabbos are identical until you prove some real, real, real pressing need to violate Yontif, so to speak? Or do I say it was never also in the first place? So this question about how you, what your take is on Melechus Yontif, so this is critical in terms of another aspect of the Sugya, which is appears in the 14th of the Maamar Kamos to kind of put all the pieces of the puzzle together in terms of understanding what the Heter V'chon Nefesh and Yontif is all about. So if you take a look at the 14th of the Maamar Kamos, it's a famous Brayse and Beit Sedef Yudzayin Amud Aleph. Tanur Rabbanan Ein Ofel Yontif Chaveri. You're not allowed to cook from one day of Yontif to the next day of Yontif. The reason being because the next day is Chol. Min HaTorah, there's only one day of Yontif. So we in Chutz La'aretz have to observe a second day of Yom Tov, Al Tzveika de Yoma, or Rosh Hashanah, even Eretz Yisrael. That's all another complicated story. But basically, Me'ikra Din, the first day of Yom Tov is the Deraisa de Kadei, and the next day is not really Yom Tov, the Deraisa. But even in the olden days, when it was a Sofek, so it was quite possible that the first day of Yom Tov was the real day, and the second day was nothing, it was only Yom Chol, we just didn't know one way or the other. So the bottom line is, the first day of Yom Tov is the real Yom Tov. Eretz Hashem, Sunday, first day of Pesach, that's the Yom Tov Deraisa. So you're not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Yom Chol. And we know that in the Torah, you really actually are allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Chol because you may end up feeding the guests, as we spoke about last week. How will? But with the Rabbani, you're not allowed. Bottom line is, you're not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. Nevertheless, by Emes Amru, it was said, what you are permitted to do is, let's say a woman wants to fill up a big, big pot. She's going to make a tremendous chulent. But she doesn't really need so much chulent. She needs 2-3 portions of chulent. That's okay. You're allowed to cook the entire pot of chulent, even though you know full well that you only need a very, very small amount. I'm going to make I have 6 people in the family. So I need 6 bowls of soup. Maybe some people want doubles. Not 12, more than 12 bowls of soup I don't need. I'm allowed to make a pot which has enough for 50 bowls of soup. What right do I have to do that? Fish take the price. I had the gomor. As long as it's the same mindset, it's the same action. So that it's perfectly permissible. That's what we call an halacha, ribur b'shiurin. So I only need X amount, but I'm allowed to be marbi b'shiurin, I'm allowed to eat on more, and that's perfectly legitimate. Oh, we'll see what the Gemara said. What's the first that's put there? It's a question. Why should that be so? We'll have to find out in a moment. So, come all the b'shiurin and bother with the question. This idea of ribur b'shiurin, we find this question raised in other areas of halacha, which are similar, and yet we come to completely different conclusions. And the area of halacha, which it is raised in, and we actually conclude differently, is not oichon nefesh, but rather pikuach nefesh. Issues of pikuach nefesh and Shabbos. Some of you may remember, this was part of a shiurim that we gave last year. I think it was the pre-Shavuos series, if I'm not mistaken. It was the oichon nefesh plus pikuach nefesh. So I remember the pre-Pesach. I think it was the pre-Shavuos ones. It was called Ochel Nefesh / Pikuach Nefesh. I think that was the topic. So we spoke a lot about this sugya at that time. The Gemara Maseches Chulin, the 15th of Maamar Kamos, tells us also, "Vashal chale b'Shabbos." What if a person cooked for a chol on Shabbos? Rightfully so. Chale sheyesh b'sekana. So the doctor says immediately, this guy needs a bowl of soup right away. The Shabbos Pikuach Nefesh. So I run. I do the right thing. I'm a vashal chale b'Shabbos. So now the question is, am I permitted to eat the rest of the soup? So I cooked some salad. I didn't know exactly how much soup Reuben's going to need, so I cooked up a little extra soup. And now Baruch Hashem is a bowl of soup left over. This is my lucky day. Can't remember the last time I had a good hot bowl of soup on Shabbos. I was okay. What's the problem? So the Gemara discusses mutalabari. Is it permissible for the people who are healthy to eat it or not? So finally, the Gemara says that, and we'll take a look at the last line of that sugya, second to last line. The Gemara says that if you ended up cooking a little bit more than you needed, you are not permitted to eat that food. Even you, the healthy person, are not permitted to eat that extra leftover soup on Shabbos. Because we are afraid that you may add on a little bit more. No, if you know that you're allowed to eat the extra soup, you may add on a little bit more soup than you actually need, and that would be problematic. So to prevent the person from getting a little bit of Yetahara, having a little extra hot soup on Shabbos. So we tell you, whatever's left over is going to have to be put aside. You're not going to be able to eat it on Shabbos anyway. So what do you see clearly from this Gemara? That Chazal did not want you to add on soup when you're cooking for a chayla. That not only you're not allowed to add on, but if there's anything left over, you're not even allowed to eat it because you're going to add on. So it's pretty clear that adding on, bringing the shiurin, b'makom pikuach nefesh, is a problem. So all the Mishnah Rabbah with this kasha. How can it be that when it comes to ochel nefesh, the Gemara says, no qualms, no problem. The Gemara says, v'mal isha k'ter b'asar, you're allowed to fill up the entire pot of soup. You only need one bowl. You can cook 100 bowls. Het gomer. When it comes to pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, the buck stops here. You have to measure out what you need. And if you cook too much, you're not even allowed to eat it. Why is that? If I'm dealing with an action that's fundamentally permissible, I'm permitted to cook on Yom Tov. I'm permitted to cook on Shabbos for the Chalish Esh Persagona. So if you're dealing with an action that's permissible, why in one case do we find there's a problem of Riv Bishurin? And another place we find that there's no problem of Riv Bishurin. What's the difference between the two? So there's a big, big machlekes that we've shown him what the answer to that question is. But if you take a look at the Ran, the punchline of the Ran, if you can get it in here. Probably got chopped off. No, the end, the last page, the very, very last page, last paragraph. So let's take a look. It's four lines from the top. Lefikach mirali boror. The vaday riba bishura bishabis with the rice of it, sir. Rafu hochi lodomi riba bishura biyomtif riba bishura bishabis. Says the Ran, there's a big difference between the two. When you're cooking on Yontif based on the hetter of Eichel Nefesh, then Riva Bishurim is mutter. When you're cooking on Shabbos based on Eichel Nefesh, then Riva Bishurim is problematic. What's the difference conceptually? He says the Ran, very simple. Lo dami Riva Bishurim b'Yontif, Riva Bishurim b'Shabbos. She Shabbos d'chuyah hi eitz al chayla. Shabbos, yes, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos for chayla, but it's still called Chol Shabbos. It's what we call d'chuyah. Nebuch, what are you going to do? You have to do it. I'm not saying not to do it. I'm not saying to hesitate. You have to do it. But your attitude, your mindset is that Nebuch, the mitzvah of nefesh, the significance of saving the person's life, overrides is Deicha Shabbos. But Shabbos is still here. It's not like Shabbos ceased to exist. Of course, there's an Isser Bishul on Shabbos. But Nebuch, the mitzvah of Pikuch Nefesh, overrides that Isser. Below Hutra. It's not that it's not Shabbos today. It's Tuesday today. Today's Tuesday, but it's not Shabbos. Of course, it's Shabbos today. Well, the thing that kol she'ik malacha osar after sefta kamom it's a b'deraisa. So therefore, the act of cooking on Shabbos for chayla is a ma'aseh malach. It's a davar osar. It's a davar osar that nebuch with a heavy heart you have to do. So therefore, that itself you're allowed to do, but the tesefes, the additional part, not allowed to do. You're not allowed to be rekid throwing more soup into the pot. That's chol Shabbos deraisa. Aval yomtiv she'eichel nefesh chutabo says the Ran yomtiv is a chol nefesh. Everything's okay. A few refshim we have yomtiv shari. The Ran happens to hold that even if you could have cooked from before yomtiv, it's still okay. There's nothing wrong. You don't have to have a guilty conscience when you cook on yomtiv. Koshu marbella ikar, as long as you're adding on to the original, as long as it's the same action. I can't cook up some food on Yom Tov that I need and then an hour later decide to cook another pot for tomorrow. That's also. But if it's really sure at the same time, then it's okay. And now the right concludes with Aaron's part of the ode. Shinir lehem b'chachamim, shekeben sh'amr Torah, achas she'ol chol nefesh. The Torah is very, very lenient in its presentation of cooking on Yom Tov. The Torah says, if you're hungry, take it today, cook on Yom Tov. It doesn't sound from the pasuk that the guy standing there in Yom Tov and measuring out how much he needs. Or like you said, I don't really need to be warmed up. I don't really need that extra piece of chicken. The Torah says everything's okay. Just cook on Yom Tov. It's a freebie. So therefore, as long as it's the tircha achas, it's okay. But be Shabbos or ikar asar after septa kamayu with the rice, a little chosay tochayla. Where Shabbos, pekuch nefesh is radically different. So we've really almost like completed the circle here in terms of trying to get a better understanding as to what are the parameters of all these yontif kinds of malachas. We started out with the burning of the chametz at Yom Tov, where the Gemara seems to say it's okay. If there's a legitimate tzarech, Taisus says it's okay. And we're wondering, do we even need a legitimate tzarech? So Taisus claims we do. Rashi perhaps would claim that we don't. Why that should or should not be so is part of the Shagasaya and the Ramban, and now it touches on the Ribbi Shurin. So all the different pieces of the puzzle, the Sugis of Psachim, the Sugis of Ksuba, the Sugis of the Beitza, everything starts to come together in terms of what I take is on Yom Tov. So when all the dust settles, no pun intended. Try to get rid of your chametz before Yom Tov. If by some chance you end up with a piece of chametz on Yom Tov, so although min haTorah, you may be actually justified in burning that chametz, we still have to reckon with the dinim derabban of mukta and other things that are preventing holding our hands back from burning that chametz. But in terms of pure hilchos Yom Tov, it's most probably with it, unless you go down that route of it's like surface kutchim. That's a whole different ballgame from last week. But if you go down the conventional wisdom, it should probably be okay. Either because you don't really need any tzarech to permit a fire in Yom Tov min haTorah, or you have a tzarech, the fact that you have to get rid of the chametz at itself is the tzarech. Whether or not, if you were already mevatel the chametz, and now you only have a tzarech with the rabbanon, does that also constitute the tzarech? That was a further shadow we discussed last week. So in order to understand the sugya b'sach on the pehle base properly, we had to get a little bit of a background in terms of Beit Yid Beis and all the other related sugyas in Masechet Beit. Okay, stop here. We'll get you up tomorrow. We'll try to get started on the next Maimon comes tomorrow, okay?
I'll resend them. Thanks, Rabbi. Have a good day.